So there's a very important summit here. You can grab either of those chairs. Welcome. There's the concussion retreat. You can find out more about it. Spell concussion with a K and spell it both times with a K. Just put a C in for a K and you'll find concussionretreat.com. We're very pleased to welcome in the chair of that particular conference coming up later in September. He's a neurosurgeon and spine surgeon as well. Nilank Jha. Do I have your name right? I want to make sure I get it right.
Perfect.
That's not true. That's not. That's impossible, is it? People get my name wrong. I get Brady at home instead of Brady, and then I know it's a telemarketer. So I really appreciate you coming in. This is, and you note this in your address on the website, it's one of the most unique conferences we've had yet to study head injuries, brain injuries, the like, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, one of the challenges we have with concussions is we do not have any good diagnostic tools to diagnose a concussion. You know, in over 90% of cases, the CAT scan and the MRI are normal. We also don't have a good blood test yet to diagnose a concussion or a biomarker. And we're working in both those areas and getting closer. And one of the big goals of this conference, we brought in all the top experts from all over the world, from the NBA, the NFL, NASCAR, NHL, the physicians from these leagues. And the goal is to address these issues in a white paper format. I mean, the best way to look at it is, if you think about hockey and you think about Gretzky, Lemieux, and Crosby, we're bringing in the top three names in concussion in the world there. Cantu, Generelli, Tatter, all three guys close to hitting 80 years old and have put in 40 years of working concussions each.
Charles Tatter I've interviewed several times. Julian Bales is also an interesting name with the groundbreaking research and study he's done on it.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine, and he advises Concussion, our organization, and he's coming as a speaker to the conference, and he's also featured in the new film coming out at Christmas, being played by Alex Baldwin.
Yeah.
So he's one of the speakers coming as well, and he does extensive work with several leagues. Pop Warner, he's medical director of the NCAA.
So I think that's flattering when Alec Baldwin plays. It's a little like Brad Pitt playing Billy Bean. You're like, oh, Brad Pitt's playing me. Like, you're happier than if it's a bunch of other actors that aren't quite as easy on the eyes to the ladies, right?
You're
He's okay with that.
We're lucky we're on the radio because, you know, there'd be no handsome guy playing me.
Concussions in sports kind of fascinate me in the sense that I think we're talking about them now. We know this, though. We'll never be able to fully eliminate them, I would think, from the vast majority of sports. And we need to trigger the rules, Doctor, I think, to allow, like, if I'm a pitcher and I get grazed by a comebacker off the mound, well, in order to evaluate me, I got to come out of the game. And unlike hockey, unlike basketball, unlike football, I can't just come back in. We have that with soccer, too. We've saw that in the Women's World Cup and the Men's World Cup. Headers, you go up and have a head injury. Once you're off the field, you're off the field unless it's just an injury timeout. How do we get around that? How can we make some symmetry so that you can keep playing if you're okay, but we can look at you to make sure you are?
You know, that's a great question. And a great example is LeBron James from the recent NBA Finals. You know, Klay Thompson was out for a week. Steph Curry had the concussion protocol during the game. We saw that on high def TV, was put back in the game. But you may remember LeBron James, when he fell down, hit the cameraman, had some blood gushing out, he did not want to leave the court. And he knew that if he removed himself from the court, didn't take the free throws, he wouldn't be able to come back in the game. So you would need in LeBron James' case, you'd need a freight train, tow truck, as well as a U.S. Marshal to get him off the court in that case. You know, he wanted to stay in there. What do we need in the future to be able to diagnose people on the spot? Our current testing is inadequate. Yeah. We require a blood test or a brain scan that would be like an iPhone that you could just track over the head and identify, is there a change in blood flow? We're getting closer to being there. And the NFL is one of the partners that is doing extensive research in this area. They've partnered up with General Electric. They're investing significantly in research and development. Also with a company called Banyan Biomarkers that is identifying blood tests for concussions. And the people of those organizations are attending this conference as speakers as well.
Is there, by the way, Dr. Nilank Jha is joining us. The concussion retreat can be found at concussion, spelled with a K, .com, and it goes September 25th, and folks can still apply to be a part of this, right?
Yeah, it's two Ks, KONKUSSION.com, and it's world experts from all over, and we're discussing basically how to advance treatment and diagnosis of concussion.
There's going to be always an athlete who wants to keep going and play through things. That's human nature. That's the human element of somebody in the, you know, 99th and 100th percentile of what they do at that particular sport. We are now of the mind that, especially with the head, you don't get to make the same choices you do perhaps with your shoulder, with your knee. But is there ever, in your mind, defense for the human element to take place and somebody to say, you know what, I felt this before and I ended up being okay. I felt this before and I've ended up being okay. Well, a doctor is looking at them, that is.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, look back at the NCAA a couple of years ago, Kevin Ware from Louisville, who had that tibial fracture, was all over the news. And we give it serious attention because we can see the fracture and we see it on X-ray. The challenge with concussions is that we do not have a imaging scan. We can't see the injury. And, you know, it's not at the professional sports level that we have a real problem. Take, for example, RG3. He was diagnosed with a concussion a couple weeks ago. The independent neurologist said, I think he might be ready to go back to play. And then the neuropsychologist from the team did a battery of tests and said, well, you know, I'm not sure if he's ready to go back to play. Now, the politics of Dan Schneider, Jay Gruden, and how that plays into it, that I'll leave to you. I'm just the medical doctor here. The reality is, I think both the neuropsychologist and the neurologist were working in the best interest of RG3. But because we do not have an objective diagnostic test, people have different opinions. And the reality is that if you can't make a decision on RG3 when you have a week to 2 weeks of testing, how can you expect to make an effective decision on the spot on an athlete who has a concussion? And to your point, I think the real challenge is in the neighborhoods with the kids. Somebody like LeBron James, who's making $20 million a year, and if he decides, you know what, I think I'm okay, and the team doctors think he's fine, and the NBA finals are on the line, that decision for a professional with the doctors in the best interest of the athlete needs to be made. And I can tell you, I sat in the NHL head office with senior leadership a couple months ago in Manhattan. They invited me to discuss concussions. They're very concerned about concussions. Yeah. The CFL is very concerned. They're all moving in the right direction. And it's evidence from Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. Why would Klay Thompson be out for a week? Why would Sidney Crosby be out for a year? One of the greatest assets of the NHL. They were protecting him. The real challenge that we have, Brady, is in our local neighborhoods. Every day I have parents coming in. Just in the last week, I had a 15-year-old girl who was heavily concussed, legs were trembling. The dad said, Dr. Jock, can you just sign this form? We'll only let her play on the power play. It's very important that she plays because we think that she has a chance to make it on the Canadian national team. Or, you know, I had another guy who was sunglasses on, legs trembling, had a concussion the previous night, rep hockey, and the dad said, Dr. Jock, we really need you to sign this form. They won't let him back on the ice. If you sign this form, he can go back to play, and we think there's going to be some scouts out there on the ice. And you know what, Brady, that's where the real challenge. And you know what, rather than going after the professional sports leagues when they're moving in the right direction, you know, people ask me about the NFL all the time. And I say, guys, I would give three humble recommendations to the NFL. One is take care of your retired veterans. And I can tell you they're doing that. You know, one of my colleagues, Dr. Sam Gandy, who's a neurologist at Mount Sinai in New York, they have complimentary care for all retired NFL players to get diagnosed and treated. The second thing is put the players on the best protocol possible. Mm. And you know what? We know that they're doing that. And there's going to be concussions, like you said. Yeah. The best thing is education and prevention. On the same day in the NFL, Jay Cutler, Alex Smith, Michael Vick, all three had concussions. Now, to your point, Alex Smith came out of the game. Colin Kaepernick took over. Smith lost his starting job and was traded to the Kansas City Chiefs. So at that level, these professionals are not motivated to come out of the game.
No, you're not. It may have prolonged the inevitable, or it may have sped up the inevitable, but yeah, guys aren't going to, guys will always hide those injuries whenever possible. The average career is 4.5 years, right?
And Brady, I got to tell you, like I play house league hockey, okay? Yeah. I've been concussed before and I didn't want to come out and I'm playing for a beer, you know?
Yeah.
These guys are playing for the Stanley Cup, you know? And the last thing I think the NFL could do is invest in research and development, not because they have to, but because they generate so much revenue to protect the game, integrity of the sport, and they're doing that. You know, they're putting investments into medical imaging, into biomarkers. So I really think that the pro sports leagues, and the fact is that kids, I see 200 concussions a week in the GTA. Our organization sees them all over the country. I can tell you that the kids don't want to hear a boring doctor like me. They rather listen to a Sidney Crosby, a Tom Brady, a Peyton Manning, a LeBron James. And whenever I go to the pro league head office, I say, guys, we need to work with you. Because if LeBron James tells the kids, if you have a concussion, you need to come out of play. And until you're better, don't go back to play.
Yeah.
That is the best advice we can give kids.
Dr. Neelank Jaws joining us. ConcussionRetreat.com is the website. KONKUSSION is how you spell concussion. We've got about a minute. I want to ask you about where you see football going in 10, 15, 20 years. I think kids that and parents that think they're kids, wrongly or rightly, have a chance to play pro, have a chance to play for college scholarships. I think those kids are going to keep playing. If you're just playing for fun, I'm just feeling 15, 20, 25 years from now, we're going to have a lot fewer kids playing. If it's that the parents are going to say, pick a safer sport. It may even get that way with ice hockey.
Yeah, I mean, you raise a great point. You know, you have Adrian Peterson, who went in the media and said that I wouldn't allow my son to play football.
Kurt Warner said that too, right? A lot of guys have. Yeah.
You have Chris Borland, who, it's a complicated story, but proactively said he's going to retire from football. I mean, he was an interior linebacker, a star player. I do think, though, that, you know, the NFL is instituting new rule changes. They're starting to determine that maybe contact sports should be a little bit later in life, in the sense that, you know, and we know that because 7 to 13-year-olds, their neck musculature still hasn't developed fully yet. So it might be better to advance. And there's some studies that have come out, actually, that high school teams, college teams that actually practice throughout the week with no contact, but then go into the game with contact, sometimes do much better than the teams that practice with contact.
Yeah.
So I really think we're going to find a balance. You can see that the NFL is working hard at implementing the headshots and enforcing the rules. I think we just need to enforce the rules, continue to do research and development, educate the parents and the kids. And I think the game has a strong future. I mean, I don't know if you agree with me, but I got to tell you that as a concussion expert who sees 200 concussions a week, I love Sunday football. I love Monday night football, and I love Thursday night football. And I think, honestly, I love hockey. We're Canadian. I was born in Edmonton, grew up in Regina. But I got to tell you, what's as exciting about football, it teaches our kids about teamwork, discipline. Yeah. You know, the quarterback has to be cognitively strong with reading the progressions. So I really think the sport's great. We just need to make some adjustments, work with the NFL, work with the little leagues, and I think it's going to have a healthy future.
I know. I'm watching last night, but I'm cringing every play. I don't want to see the big hit anymore like I used to, because I know the impact. I know the long-term effects. I wish we had a ton more time to talk. We'll get the word out on this and get more people there, but it's great that you got this many experts coming in. Hopefully we can call on you in the future after the summit and see where it's at.
Absolutely.